everyone, and welcome to the Gaming Duo, where friendships are built through gaming. We're your hosts, Rob and Kelvin, and if you are joining us for the first time, first off, thank you so much for tuning in. We're the podcast that keeps you, the gamers, up to date on the latest news and speculation about the gaming industry. Kelvin, what's going on, man?
What's happening, brother? How you doing?
It's a busy, busy day, busy, busy week. Ready to talk about the latest stuff in the gaming industry. Anything crazy happened to you since yesterday? Did you win a lottery? Did you see you're drinking some water? It looked like an alcoholic beverage. I thought it was gonna be a vodka, but it's not a vodka.
No, not a vodka. It is very much a seltzer water.
Yes. I have my my water here. Yes. Mm-hmm. So water.
You gotta stay hydrated, man. You know,
you gotta stay hydrated.
I've noticed. I do talk a lot throughout the day, right? I mean, obviously we're at work, we're with the kids, we're with the family. Then you come here, we're doing the podcast, I'm talking to you. There is always moments in my life where I just don't stop talking. And I'm an introvert. I do not like to talk. I do not like to talk to people. So it's draining by the end of the day. So, like, you know what? I need to stay hydrated.
Yeah. Yeah. Same way. I think I was extroverted and then I've become an introvert.
Really?
Yeah, I think I was more extroverted when I was younger. As I'm growing into my older age, I'm becoming a lot more introverted and reserved. Which, like I said, I could still have my extroverted capabilities or, you know, tendencies like you as well. But I like to kind of like be to myself and that kind of thing. So
I just remember Pete's wedding and you were just like, I want to go and hang out. I just want to hang out with everybody.
Now, if there's a drop of alcohol, then
that's a different Rob. That's a different Rob.
That's ridiculous, Rob, right there. That's where he comes out.
That's where your name comes from. Ridiculous Rob. I got it. Nice.
Right. So,
besides me being hydrated, nothing else happened. No, nothing crazy. You know, just hanging out there, played a little bit of Final Fantasy VII. That game does not end. You are absolutely correct.
Yep, totally.
And yeah, just you know, trying to stay afloat this week. That's all.
Yeah, I played yesterday some Final Fantasy VII, and I was about to go and continue some of the missions, and I was like, wait, I still got to beat some of these Queen Bloods guy. Oh, and then there's another storyline involving that with like cutscenes, and I'm like, here we go, you know. So but
why don't you finish that after you finish the game, or do you feel less inclined to finishing it after you finish the game?
I want to just like be done with it. You know, I want to close the book on it and just be like, I did everything. I don't have to go back. The only thing that sucks is that Final Fantasy, The Rising Tide's coming out tomorrow. So I'm not going to be able to really get my hands on that until I'm not starting that until I beat Final Fantasy VII. That's my rule. So
that's my rule too. I just can't. I have Persona that I've already started. I don't want to like double dip in other games. This is a tough time, dude. Like this is some real shit. Like this is, I'm scared. Here I am talking about scared because there's just too many games that are coming out and I can't keep up. I can't freaking keep up. Let me know, guys, how what's your routine? What's your rigmarole? What's the strategy that you guys use? Because I can't function. I can't figure it out. I don't know. I'm 33 years old and I'm 32 years old and I can't figure it out. So if you guys know of a better strategy of how to balance your life and video games, please let me know.
Do you think it's because we're older and we have a lot more responsibilities that we don't have? We're used to the time that we used to be able to put into games like 4 hours, 5 hours. And then now it's like dwindled down to
100%. I'm talking to the demographic that is in our like age group. Like I need to know what your strategy is. All the 20-year-olds that listen to us, I appreciate you guys, but you guys have it easy. All right. You guys are in college, busting your ass in school. And what do you guys do? Go home, play games. Probably study last minute. Like, what do you guys do? You know what I mean? Like, we have it tough right now, and I want to know what to do. I want to figure out a good strategy so that I can balance life and balance video games. I can't figure out.
Let Kelvin know, guys.
You would think I know, but I don't.
You're not wise. I think you're wise, but you're not wise.
I can't figure out. Can't do it.
What else? I saw episode 2 of Fallout. Very good. Very, 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 very good. Very good. So highly, highly recommend you start that show and start watching it.
Definitely.
I've been seeing a lot of things pop up on social media. I haven't really been on social media too much this week, but Signalis, that game, I think it's how you say it. It is a from what I got a description of, it is a indie, but it's like this Silent Hill mixed with Resident Evil in a sci-fi kind of game. It has like the tank controls, and everyone's been raving about it. I think it came out like last year, and I really want to play it. Like, I really, really want to play it. It's on PC. I think it's on console.
So what you're saying is we're going to do another, join our what did we do for that Silent Hill game?
That
came out.
You played it.
Yeah, I played it, and you just watched me play it. That should be another one. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be fun. So, but dude, let's get into the gaming news, because I feel like there's a lot to talk about today. So let's get into the Daily Duo.
The Daily Duo.
First thing on Daily Duo, Nintendo Indie World had a presentation today on YouTube. It showcased all 17 games that were revealed in the presentation. It highlighted a variety of indie titles across different genres, including action, adventure, platform, puzzle, and more. There were so many games. There was a lot. I couldn't even keep track. Animal Well was there, was shown.
I did see that. I did.
Which was really, really cool. There was a new Ninja Turtle game that was like kind of like a roguelike, which seemed really cool. Mm-hmm. There was another one called Europa, which was very, very interesting. Also Anton Blast, that's crazy side scroller. There's a demo available on the eShop right now if you want to go try it. So I probably might download it. I don't know. You watched a little bit of it.
I watched the whole thing. Yep.
Okay. Liked it.
So you mentioned a few games that I wrote down a few games that I liked, right? So I enjoyed the Europa game demo available now, so we can check that out if you wanted to, which is cool. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, that roguelike game, Splinter Fate, comes out July 24th. That looked really cool. I was like, okay, that was probably the highlight for me in this showcase. Definitely like that. I'm like, yeah, this is really cool. Teenage Mutant Turtles meets roguelike title. Like, yeah, let's do it. And then Cat Quest 3. Never heard of that game in my life, right? But I'm like, that looks kind of cool. Like, there's something about this that I'm like, I'm digging. Not much else about it, but that was decent. Besides that, nothing took me by surprise. I was like, okay, my expectations for this was there's going to be a lot of like shovelware, no pun intended, right? But like, there's going to be a lot of things that just kind of, you know, you're just watching just to watch it. But nothing stood. I don't know. It's weird. These indie world presentations, they just don't do it for me. And I don't know if it's because my expectation is vastly different than other people, but I kind of set my expectation for this one. I'm like, I know this is not going to be anything crazy, but I still felt kind of slightly disappointed. I don't know about you.
I wasn't disappointed per se. I didn't have any expectations, but there was some cool stuff. Like, there was Yars Rising. I know, you know who were disappointed? The people that were hoping for Hollow Knight Silk Song.
That was the big one. That was the big one that wasn't here.
Yeah. Yep. So that was sorely missed, but I think out of all of them, I think Europa was probably the coolest as far as just, it looks like just a cozy, cool adventure. The Teenage Mutant Turtle games, that looks really cool. Like, honestly, just like a roguelike, you know, take on that, you know, that, that genre, not genre, but you know, I'm trying to say the fucking mean turtles, you know, with the skin. Animal Well, we know we played it. That's a fantastic game that we played at PAX East, had a really good time. And that was really it. There wasn't like a ton here that I was like, yeah, I want to get that. It's what I expected, I guess. I didn't expect anything. And this just goes to show you Nintendo's pretty much like,
done.
We got nothing else.
We got nothing, guys. This is all we got. You know what I mean? Now, do you think these Nintendo Indie World presentations, do they need a presentation? Can this simply just be a post on social media and call it a day? Or like, do we have to have these like presentations to showcase all these smaller indie titles that are coming soon?
I think if you're the developer who of these indie games, I think this is like a heaven sent for you, right? Like, you need like a showcase like this to kind of like show off your game, if you put in their shoes. So I think this is needed to showcase them, because sometimes it's kind of hard to like really know what good indie games are out. And then plus, you know, I'm always in mood for a good indie here and there, you know what I mean? Sometimes I don't want to play a AAA. Sometimes I want to get through a nice simple experience, and that's what indies are there for, you know.
So let me backtrack. What I meant to say was, would these be better off being part of the Nintendo directs instead of having their own separate? Thinking about it now, I feel like it might make sense for them to have their own separate quote unquote direct, right? Because I just feel like Nintendo has too many presentations now. They have the Indie Showcase or the Indie World presentation. They have their Nintendo Directs. They have like some type of collaboration Indie Showcase or something, right? Is that if I'm not mistaken? Like there's just a lot of different varieties. Whereas would these Indie World premieres be better off in a Direct, you know? Or would it be overshadowed by Megaton games?
I think that's what it is. I think they would get overshadowed because people wouldn't be talking about them. They'd be like, oh, cool, like Animal World came out, but also Legend
Metro Prime 4.
Yeah, like you're not going to remember. So I think it needs to exist in this type of form. It's content, right? It's content. I appreciate when it does. Do I get excited? Do I get excited like a showcase or like a actual direct? No. But I'm just like, you know, what is there? What are the indie games that are popping that are coming out that I could just like pop in? And a lot of these are available like pretty soon. That's the nice thing is that they're all going to be available relatively soon. Whereas you watch a director showcase, it's like, you got to wait half a year for the game to come out.
What's going on with Silksong? Like,
I don't know.
It's nowhere to be seen. It's not, it's weird that you would think we would see this by now. We would see this title by now, but it's not anywhere
it's in limbo right now. It's in limbo.
Interesting.
Yeah. Speaking of limbo.
Oh.
Let's talk about PlayStation.
Okay.
PlayStation trophies are coming to PC. This was actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
PlayStation officially bring its trophy system to PC, allowing players to earn trophies and showcase their achievements across the platforms. This move marks Sony's efforts to expand its presence in the PC gaming market to offer more features to PC players. This integration could enhance the game experience for PC users and foster greater engagement for PlayStation titles. So, again, this is Sony just being like, hey, we really, really want to capture that PC market. Let's give you some a little incentive to be like, hey, be part of the PlayStation community by getting trophies. Because, you know, I'm not going to lie. Whenever I'm playing a game and I see the little pop up in the top right corner, I'm like, that feels good. That feels nice.
It really does. It really does. This is a much welcoming addition to Sony's strategy and kind of like continuing their efforts to push the PC market, right? My question, and I don't know if you know this answer or not, but is the trophy system compatible with your PlayStation in a sense of like, is it cross-platform? You know, so if you buy God of War on PC, you get the trophies. Will that just link up or sync to your PS5 when you boot up God of War on your PS5? Or is it like a separate? Because I know like the trophies for PS4 and PS5 are separate, right? So if you have a game that you bought on PS4 and then you like buy it on PS5, they're two separate trophies.
I think it's tied to your PSN accounts, your PSN account. So like if you got the trophy for Spider-Man
or Spider-Man, yep.
Right, you got it. Like it wouldn't make you get the trophy again for the same game, I feel like. It would just show up in your accounts like you got the platinum for Spider-Man 2, right? Or something like that. Because it's going to be connected to your PlayStation PSN account. So I would imagine they, not cross-platform. I don't think it's cross-platform anyway, but it will take into account what trophies are where in a sense. But it is kind of like if you did technically get a trophy, you bought Spider-Man for PS5 and you bought Spider-Man for PC and you're playing them at the same time, like, There's no cloud save. It's like you can't play on both as far as like the same game.
Cross progression, I think that's what it's called.
And cross progression. It said Ghost of Tsushima Director Cut is a first PlayStation title on PC that uses new PlayStation overlay. So it's gonna be a new overlay, which includes your friends list, trophy settings, and your profile. This feature is available for Windows PC and will be accessible in game or menu for keyboard players playing Shift plus F1 shortcut on your keyboard. While playing the game, you can earn PlayStation trophies just like on PlayStation titles. Ghost of Tsushima on PC shares the same trophy set as the game on PlayStation 5 consoles. In addition, a PC version also has full support for achievements on Steam and Epic Game Store. So you actually get like more achievements and stuff like that. So that's interesting. Hmm.
This is pretty cool. I'm still trying to figure out the cross progression situation, but nothing's really popping up. So if you guys know, let us know for sure. Let us know on our socials, or you know, hit us up, because I would really like to know if this is something that is, you know, tied to your PSN account, which I think it is, but I'm still not convinced that this is cross progression. So again, what I'm talking about is if I have Spider-Man on PC and Spider-Man on PS5, if I play for like 2 hours or so on my PC, get a few trophies, will that sync up to my PS5 game on my PS5? And will I have to not, like, do I have to get those trophies again if I play it on my PS5?
It seems like it's unclear, because it said here, the list of trophies is the same as a PS5 version of the game, but it's not clear if the list will be treated as separate from the PS5 version, as in the case with games of both the PS4 and PS5 version.
There it is. Okay.
So we don't know. So that's pretty cool, though. I welcome it.
I will say, in this whole situation, it is a step forward, right? It is a progression that we're doing with PC and PlayStation. I love that they're kind of expanding those little cool things, like a piece, like trophies are kind of a big deal to most people, not most people, but like the major like PlayStation audience, right?
Sure.
I used to be a huge trophy whore. Like I used to be really into the trophy ecosystem and trying to get all the trophies. And I obviously stopped once I got a little bit older and more, you know, just stuff happening on my plate. But it's definitely something cool to have and something cool to just strive for when you're playing a game, especially if it's on PC now. Like that's great. So I'm sure if it's not something that is cross progression now, it will be in the future.
Yeah. We're gonna take a break real quick, guys, because we're sorry. But if you guys are enjoying this episode, please rate us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or review, and remember to follow us on all social media platforms. Be part of the gaming community by joining our Discord server, where friendships are built through gaming. I wanted to ask you, did you watch the live stream of the technical test for Hades 2?
No.
It's out. You can actually, the developers went in and did a live stream of it, and it's 3 hours long. So
okay,
you get a lot of the game, and it looks like Hades from what I'm skipping through, but
yeah,
it looks sick. It does look really, really sick. The color palette is a little darker greens and purples, but it seems like everyone is really, really excited.
I'm looking forward to it, man. Again, I think I'm gonna step away from the beta test, or not the beta test, the technical test.
Yeah.
And
if
just
kind of get in.
right, exactly. But I definitely want to play the game when it's ready to release.
I did like that the developers are in there, and they're kind of going through and showing us a big stream of like how the game is being played and stuff like that, because they're going to explain it best, right? And why things work the way they do. And you can really get a deep dive and feel for the game. And you want to see developers actually enjoy playing their game, right? I think that's the oneest thing.
This game.
I'm hearing good things about the voice acting so far.
That was another great thing about the game too. I forgot about that. Yeah.
The art style is just amazing. So let's get back to the news. Blizzard on the future of World of Warcraft. Blizzard discusses how the War Within narrative arc in World of Warcraft sets the stage for the game's future direction. So this is basically the new expansion for WoW. It's coming out for WoW retail, not classic. Blizzard plans to continue evolving, expanding the World of Warcraft universe over the next 20 years. It emphasizes Blizzard's commitment to storytelling, player engagement, and community-driven content in shaping the future of the franchise. This was a quote from VGC, an article from one of the developers. World of Warcraft is doing very well, and they are very proud of what we've been able to accomplish. So it's just like, let it be, and let's keep being awesome. They've also been tremendously supportive, and it's like, let Blizzard be Blizzard. Microsoft is letting them be themselves. So that's really awesome that Microsoft is kind of like, hey, you're part of us now, but like, keep doing what you're doing. Like,
do you
do the WoW thing. There was they ask, you know, what's the deal with WoW and console? Because that's the thing that's being talked about. And developers say, we are talking about it. It is a thing that that's happening. But it is not really being talked about from what they said. It's like, it's not a thing yet, but we're talking about the thing being a thing.
Right, right.
Which I'm sure Microsoft is kind of being like, hey, you know, this console thing, you should probably do it, but like, we're not going to push you to do it, but you should probably do it. That's how I feel like if I was Microsoft.
I think that will happen eventually. It's a smart approach to take for Microsoft to let the developers do what they need to do and just kind of let them cook in a sense, right? Okay. Sony does it. Nintendo does it. I think it's just a smart business move to let your creators create and have that faith in what they do, right? Sure. Obviously, they purchased them for a reason. Let them do what they need to do. As far as Blizzard goes and, WoW, I think, I mean, what is there to say? This is a 20-year, like, universe that they're planning on doing, right? Like, which is awesome for WoW fans. And to see that this game still is, you know, pushing through and striving and getting, you know, people to continue playing the game and being in the universe, it's, you know, it's just a testament to what Blizzard has created. So we'll see how the future looks for it. It's gonna look great, but obviously, you know, I'm not a WoW fan, but I can imagine people that are into the WoW lore, they just can't wait to continue, you know, playing this game for you know, years and years to come. So I want to see how Microsoft handles WoW and just like the licensing of it and how the future of WoW looks like under Microsoft.
So just to let you know that WoW will probably outlive us.
100%. Oh yeah, 100%. It'll just change different forms, you know. Yep. It'll just keep molding, it'll just keep adapting, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's it. It'll still be alive.
Meanwhile, what?
Meanwhile, we're just getting old, you know, we're just just aging and turning like just rotting and shit, you know.
We'll literally be playing WoW. Well, not us, but like people will be playing WoW until they die. Like it's mm-hmm. insane that like how much of an impact that game has. So last bit of news here before we head out is developer concerns about live service models. There was a survey that revealed that 70% developers are worried about the sustainability of a live service model in the gaming industry. Developers expressed concerns that the increasing pressure for continuous update and support live service games, which can be financially and creatively taxing. The article discusses the challenge faced by developers in maintaining player interests, managing community expectations, and balancing content updates with development resources. Yeah, I don't blame them. I think live service is a really tough thing to, I think of Fortnite, right? Fortnite is limitless. It keeps going and keeps going. But like, will there ever be a point where they have enough skins where like they did all the skins for everything? Like they have no more partnerships to do.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. At some point, you know, Fortnite has to, which they are, they're doing something different, right? They're creating constantly like evolving. Different, constantly evolving. Exactly. So, yeah, but at some point things might have to shift. I don't know. As far as the live service model goes, obviously you can tell that many companies, many developers have tried and many of them have failed. And it's not an easy business model to take, right? To kind of like mold a model of continuous service and creating content for, you know, weeks upon weeks upon weeks, and having that freshness so people can continue being engaged. That is not an easy task to do. And you honestly, for the most part, it's like it says here, it's taxing, and financially it really drains a lot of pockets, right? People try to make it there because if you succeed, then you're good. You're doing very well for yourself.
Right.
You're set.
Yeah.
But the problem is a lot of people try to reach for that high, and unfortunately many of them fail, right? And obviously we've seen that in so many cases. We see that even in the big publishers, right? We see that in Sony, right? Where they're trying to get that like high with that live service model, but they kind of, you know, they kind of retracted a little bit, and they're like, you know what? I don't know if we can do this. Let's take a step back. Let's do what we do best, right? So it's tough, man, but I can definitely see, give it like 5 years, and I can see the business kind of changing, for the better. And I don't see, you're not going to see service models being a thing as much as it was 5-10 years ago, right?
Yeah. I mean, you also too can see that, remember there was like microtransaction mayhem as far as like, I think it was like a couple of years ago where every game was like wanted to do microtransactions, every single game, right?
Hardcore.
Right. And they still exist. There's still microtransactions in a lot of games, but it's not as prevalent where like every single game tries to do it, right? People have kind of laid off. Then I think live games of a service thing is going to kind of lay off too. And people are going to kind of go into it more strategically as far as like, okay, well, we're not just trying to hop in the bandwagon. We would actually create something that people are going to want to play and stay in this world for as long as they can, not just do like a quick money grab type of thing. Because I feel like that's what a lot of big companies do. They try to do a quick money grab with it to try and get as quick result as possible and get, you know, but with a lot of these games that we saw, it doesn't necessarily happen. So, no. And then like, we have the internet, right? We have the internet that everyone's going to talk. As soon as, if your game is bad and your game stinks, if your game stinks of poo-poo, go sniff it out.
Gotta sniff it out, man. Yeah, it's gonna be interesting how this plays out for the next few years. I think you're gonna have your big ones. You're gonna have like your staples in the industry, mm-hmm. and they're gonna stay those. Like they're gonna stay there. But as far as people just kind of throwing ideas out there, just making live service games just to see if it sticks, you're not gonna see that as often.
For sure. One last thing, guys, before we go. You can actually go play Assassin's Creed Mirage for free for the first 2 hours of the game. So if you want to go try that out, that is available for you to do. I don't know how you can do it. I think it might be on Steam.
Okay. Because yeah. I'm interested. I didn't hear about this.
I actually think you could do it. Let me just see Assassin's Creed Mirage before we head out here. Are you actually going to try, Kel, or are you just saying you're going to try and do it?
I want to try it. Yes, I want to definitely
you
try
it. You want to try it. You just don't know if you're going to have the time to do it.
Steam. Free?
Here it is. I see it. A free trial of Assassin's Creed available now. Play the first 2 hours of the game and keep your progression. You have to go try now, AssassinsCreed.com. Okay.
Download Assassin's Creed Mirage now for no cost on PC, PlayStation, Xbox, and stab your way through all of it for 2 hours until the 30th of April. So you can download it on PC or, you know, consoles.
Okay, guys. Go download it. Go download it right now.
Are you getting this? You gonna try it?
Maybe. Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Why not? I'll try it out. Doesn't hurt. Get my feet wet. Okay. I'm not gonna buy it, but
no.
Maybe it will. Maybe I'll be hooked up and buy it. Cool. Anyways, thank you guys so much for tuning in, Kelv. I'll talk to you tomorrow for the last day of gaming news.
Let's do it.
Please like, subscribe, go to gamingdoapod.com, leave us a review. We greatly appreciate it. Appreciate you guys. Bye.
Bendición.